Good morning. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the Technical Review Committee meeting. It is February 8th, 2023. It's 9 o'clock. And the first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from last month. Actually, it was 2 months ago. It was December 14th, 2022. And I want to ask if everybody's... I'm going to do a roll call first, sorry. We'll start with Mark Conboy.
Yeah.
Joe Murphy. Matt Brady-Wind, representative from the Conservation Commission. Chris Heiner.
Yeah.
And James Gorman. And we also have representing the Planning Department, Lynn and Jay Parker. And yeah, my name is Rich Bourbonnais. I'm here. I'll be chairing today. Normally, I don't do this, so we'll see how this goes. But second on the agenda, approval of minutes, please. December 14th, if everybody's read those. And if we can
make the motion to approve minutes.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve by James Gorman.
I'll second that.
Second by whom? Oh, by Matt. All those in favor? Any discussion? All those in favor? Do we
aye.
Roll?
Aye. I'll just abstain just because I wasn't at that meeting.
Okay. All those in favor? Everybody aye? And we've got one abstention. Okay, so first review item on the agenda, the development plan review for Meyer. It's a request to convert an existing single-family dwelling to a bed and breakfast. Assessor's plat 85-4, lot 8, located at 836B, Matunick Schoolhouse Road. And we're looking for a representative of that, and perhaps James Meyer and Maureen Rooney.
James Meyer.
James Meyer. It's nice to see you, James. Go ahead. Please, James, I'm going to ask you to give us a rundown on what this is, and then what we'll do is we'll go about the room just asking if anybody has any questions from the technical review. Also, give us your name and your...
Is the red on?
Yes, red is on.
Red's on.
You got to get it close so you can hear it.
All right. A little intimidating seeing on this side of the table with you guys so close. my name is James Meyer. I'm sorry. What else do you want to know?
If you could explain the project a bit, please.
So my wife and I, family of seven... My kids are basically moved out of the house, empty nesters. We're looking to convert two of our bedrooms into a bed and breakfast. The layout of the house currently there's kind of two parts. The original portion of the house built between somewhere around 1920, 1900-ish, has two bedrooms and a single bath with a kind of living area and sun porch on it. We're looking to use that portion of the house as a bed and breakfast from basically May 1st to October 1st. That's the general concept in it. There's no change to the existing footprint. There's no change to anything on the property per se, other than maintenance and keeping it clean and tidy and stuff like that. General landscaping and all that kind of stuff, so to speak. So that's kind of the simple part of the project. I did submit some paperwork for you all, and in that paperwork, I think I delineated the layout of the existing property itself. I indicated on one of the places, because a concern that I was privy to is number of cars for parking. There's currently adequate gravel driveway that will support at least five cars. So, and that's located, I can't show you, but it's located as you come in Trustum Pond Road and turn left and straight down. There's an existing basically five spots off a barn that then leads the pathway to the house itself. We have been considering, and we got a variance for a proposed barn in the upper right-hand corner. We're holding off on that project currently because we're not sure we're going to actually add to it. It's just a complicated issue of getting construction loans and things like that, given the current economic climate. We do want to run the bed and breakfast, like I said, May 1st to October 1st. Basically, our kids are out of the house, and the only time that they're back is December around the holidays. So, there's no real change. I mean, we're going from family of seven, downsize, family of two, and then maybe every weekend have a couple people stay. That's kind of it.
Can I ask just to clarify, which structure are you talking about converting? Is it the one down the lower left?
I'm sorry, yeah.
And so your entire parcel is what's shaded, the entire thing, including the garden area to the north?
Correct.
And then access is through Trustum Pond. Oh, I see. So you're saying left onto the property.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You come down the... All right.
Yeah, I get it. All right. So is that everything we want to add?
That's really it.
All right, so I'm going to ask that we go around the room and maybe we ask a few questions of you, if that's okay?
Absolutely.
I'll start with you, Jamie, if you have any concerns.
I just want to go over a few things. So this would be advisory because you'd have to appear before the zoning board for a special use permit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was my understanding. It's like next steps. If you guys give thumbs up, then that's the next step where you whatever, yeah.
And so you're proposing two guest rooms?
We're looking at primarily one guest room. Occasionally, we'll get two people who don't want to share the same room.
You want to be clear because you're going to...
I have down two guest rooms in it for maximum occupancy of three people on any given night.
So you'd be limited to two per guest room?
Well, we'd be limited to actually three total people, so two in one guest room. And
so
then
you as the owner of the property, though. The town's requirements, two per guest room.
Okay, well, then I would do two per guest room, and then we would personally limit it to two people in one and one in the other because it's just a single bed configuration.
Okay, and so relative to parking, you have four spots would be required. And I guess the big question would be, are there any events that you would be proposing accessory to the bed and breakfast?
Thank you for asking that. No, absolutely not. We have no desire to hold any event other than when my family's home for the holidays, you know, birthday type of parties, but nothing that's commercial related to this project. That would be a no-go for us. So.
Okay, and then I know wayfinding, it could be a little tricky. Do you plan on any signage to direct guests to your property?
That's another excellent question. We were not planning on doing any signs on the road to maintain the farm appeal. The only thing we would put out on the road is effectively better signpost with 836 on it, so just numerically people could find it. And then be specific with directions as customers, if we get approved, come sending them explicit directions on how to get to our house.
Yeah, you would be allowed a freestanding sign, with a permit. So if you wanted to, but you wouldn't be creating any curb cut or additional access?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Nope, no curb cut. Thank you.
That's all I have. Yeah, you do have so you've kind of drawn the parking area, but if you could, at least in preparation of the planning board, you could identify those specifically.
Oh, you want like
so the spaces should be designated like 9x18. They should be like to scale to show that you in fact can park two cars side by side or three cars side by side.
So just so I'm clear, because I don't want to get this wrong, you want me to literally draw the parking spaces on the plan for you to see?
You need to designate, sure. You need to show on the plan that the area that you have designated for three parking spaces can, in fact, scale, fit three parking spaces.
Okay.
Or however many spaces you're for.
Okay. Thank you.
And further along those lines, the spaces, like, they have to work. You know, so you can't stack them. You can't, like, put
them. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Put them in front to back. Sometimes people try to get creative and be like, you know, I really don't want to do it. But.
Oh, no. I don't think I did a good job probably in showing this, but I know for.
Do you mind if I get up for a second?
Linear did for 18 by 9 and found that I can fit the adequate parking.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question that you certainly have the room. You just need to show it how it's going to.
Okay.
You just need to say this is where it's going to be.
Got it.
Also, how they're going to circulate, how they're going to back out of those spaces. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like it's designed sort of as a hammerhead so you can go from one side and back into the other to drive out.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to make sure that you can circulate properly.
Thank you.
Is that everything, James?
That's everything.
So I'm going to ask Mark if he's got any comments. Mark is our town engineer.
No, not at this time. Everything is
yeah, no increase. No increase. I know. No increase. No increase in foot. No increase in building footprint. You're saying and.
Yep. Everything's staying as is.
The new barn when that comes out.
Yeah. That's yeah. So that's in a holding pattern until we get approved on financing for it.
Joe, a representative from the planning board.
How many total bedrooms in the house?
I have it written. It's in here. It's listed as, I believe, 5.
Is your septic system designed for 5?
Yes. The septic system was built and designed for 5 bedrooms. Yep. We got an inspection from Briggs, when we went through that kind of transition on septics, they inspected it and did all that. That should be on file with the town.
When this comes to the planning board, we just have a note with the TRSA saying that the septic system is designed for 5 and is in standard for the regulations. Then off-season, any plans off-season that are even vacant or what?
Yeah, in the off season, well, like I said, in anywhere from like November, around Thanksgiving through December, my kids come home for the holidays. So then it's family comes home type of deal, and then family's out. Yeah, so it's kind of like we're filling the gap, so to speak, because they're.
I heard you. No, the bed and breakfast allows any associated primary or accessory uses that's allowed in the district to continue. So I think the only the only thing that would be allowed would be events, which I don't believe that the applicant proposes to undertake.
Yeah, I can't strong, or is that enough? We have no desire to do events.
Understood. Now, Jamie, I believe I answered that correctly. The question was whether or not the bed and breakfast use allows any other uses that otherwise would not be allowed.
So it's essentially a single family dwelling with the owner using it's a lodging house. So, I mean, any wedding events for guests, you know, you'd have to come back before this board, and then.
Yeah, that's. I'm just being really clear. So history wise, it in the area, I've seen how that's played out, and I understand the impact, and I have no desire to do that. I have a hard enough time when my kids bring extra friends over for dinner, let alone anything else on our property.
It's a possibility that ends up being a condition of approval from the planning board, since you.
I'll write that in. You, like for For in perpetuity,
it would make it, no, it would make it a lot easier.
In perpetuity, I'm willing to add that into a stipulation. No events on the property other than, you know, when my kids come home, that type of thing. Now, if my daughter gets married and says she wants to get married on the property, I might have to, like,
I don't know
if that falls, but, like, yeah. I'm hoping she's going to elope because I don't want to pay for that. Sorry.
That's all I have, Rich.
Matt?
Yeah, Joe stole my question. As long as that septic system is properly sized, that's my only concern. But thank you for coming through this channel. I think with Airbnb, a lot of people are, there's a lot of this type of thing going on, and they're not going through these proper channels. So we appreciate you doing your due diligence. But yeah, as long as that septic system is sized, that's all I have.
Chris?
Question on your plans. You have two road names on here that I've never seen before.
Those are private roads. I mean...
So your actual address is 836B
Matunic Schoolhouse
but
Road.
These road names aren't shown anywhere. Like, we're not going to go down Matunic Schoolhouse Road and see a sign that says Windy Meadows Lane?
No, you wouldn't.
Okay. So they're just on paper.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand, so that's why I was vague in trying to... We're not trying to be vague. Yes, those are on paper.
Okay, because if someone calls 911 and you say, I'm on Trustum Road, we're not going to know where Trustum Road is, or we're not going to know where Windy Meadows Lane is.
Yep.
So just so if you pick up 911, you're going to go to 836B Matunic Schoolhouse Road.
Yep.
So just so that everybody down there on that road knows that you don't live on Windy Meadows Lane or Trustum Road, you live on Matunic Schoolhouse, or off of Matunic Schoolhouse Road.
Correct, and in the past, when we actually have activated 911 at our house, services have arrived spot on.
Perfect. Excellent. And then I'm going to give this to you. This fire code requires some stuff in lodge and room in houses.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's not a lot, but you do have to be there when the guests are there. So you can't just let the guests go freely. So you guys have to be there 24/7 whenever there's guests there. So that's part of it. You have to have a no-smoking policy.
It's already there.
Right, your hardwired interconnected smoke and carbon monoxide alarms?
Yes, have those.
Okay.
For what it's worth, two of my kids are firefighters. One is in Narragansett, so he's like a hound on a hare on me.
Perfect. So I'm going to give this to you. I'm not going to read through all of it. You can certainly read it. Okay. And then you can call me if you have any questions.
Perfect.
All right, Chris?
That's all I have.
Good, Chris. All right. Jay, do you have anything to add on this? As a rep from the planning?
I don't. I'm having connection issues with the server, but I just... is this property is a residential compound? Was created as a residential compound? How long ago was that?
I believe... Well, that was started... Oh, phase one of it was back in 86, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 91 was phase two.
I believe so, yeah.
All right. I'm seeking clarification. Oops, sorry. I'm seeking clarification right now that I don't think there's an issue, but I'm just seeking clarification that a B&B is going to be okay on a residential compound. The concern, the reason why I question it is because when residential compounds get approved, there's much less stringent requirements for roadway improvements, things of that nature. It's meant to keep a farm a farm. Mm-hmm. So when a residential compound is approved and then another use pops up after that might intensify that in a manner that's a little different than a single family, I'm just trying to make sure that that's kosher. In reading the language, it doesn't look like it's prohibited, but I just want to make sure that there isn't something that we're not considering. So I've, despite the computer problems I'm having, I've sent an email out to council just asking to confirm that for me. Make sure there's no issue.
The intensity of use, honestly, is like...
It's minor, but again...
Yeah, I get it. I totally...
From our standpoint, you know, we would have to treat this as if it was an eight-bedroom, you know, an eight-bedroom versus a one-bedroom, and the number of cars and number of vehicle trips on a residential compound that might be exceptionally... might be, you know, not designed to support that level of use.
Right. I get that. In consideration of that, I'm not... We have a family of... Seven.
No, I totally understand.
So swapping.
It's a matter of making sure that we approach projects the same manner, despite
right. I get
the
it.
Characteristics.
I get it. Yep.
Characteristics.
So.
Is that everything, Jay?
Yep.
So I'm not hearing anything here that sounds you know, obtrusive necessarily, something that would keep this from moving forward. But we have, it sounds like, three concerns. One is with the actual use on a compound. And you're going to clarify that?
Yeah, I will get. I will certainly get clarification with that and advise you whatever I hear, whenever I hear back on that. And the only other suggestion would be between now and when we go to the planning board is that you revise the site plan to show the parking.
Yeah, so the parking, and then also I'm going to ask that you submit something on the septic system, the size of the septic system. You're not adding a bedroom. Are you adding a bedroom?
No.
So just to show something that shows that septic system is sized properly for that home, which you don't want to make sure you didn't add a bedroom over time. It's a four bedroom. You're saying it's a five bedroom system. We just want to see some documentation. Like you can get that from DEM. If
okay.
It's a relatively
I'm just trying
new, to it's a relatively new system. It's a five bedroom system. I'm going to guess that it's a relatively new system.
Yeah, we so the history when we added on. If you I don't know what you have in your paperwork. The original house we added on in 2006,
okay.
And we upgraded in 2006 to make it sufficient for a five-bedroom home.
Okay. So then that's online, actually. You can get that. You can actually pull that online, and we'll do a little research.
Okay,
ourselves.
Yeah. So that's – I'm just – coffee's worn off this morning, so. Yeah, and then it was sized for the house at that time because they required it. And quite, I was a little frustrated just because it's like, wow, that's a big hit.
So, you know, I'd entertain with those things in mind, I'd entertain a motion to perhaps move this along, unless anybody's got any reservation on that, so we can, I'll recommend a motion, I guess, or at least see if there is one. If anyone wants to make a motion to move this to the planning board?
I'll make a motion to approve with the condition that the applicant provides a parking plan. As discussed, as well as confirmation of the septic design for the home, and also I would include that the guest rooms be confirmed that they meet the requirements for a bedroom. So if you can provide dimensions and photos, windows.
Thank you.
That's my motion.
A second?
I'll second that.
It was Joe?
Rich just wants to clarification. I just did a quick DEM permit search for the septic, and the whole document came up. Would they need to actually go to DEM to get correspondence from them, or could they just reproduce that? This was done in 2004. It's conformed as a five-bedroom septic with 750 gallons of capacity.
That's effectively what we need. So, okay. You know, we may be good in that.
I'll send you a link to this, and you can just print it.
You can just print it. You don't need to go to DEM.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All those in favor? Do I do a roll call on that, or do we do a... Jamie?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Matt?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
It's an aye. And aye as well from me. And so you're all set.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
So we will be in touch to get you scheduled with the planning board, but it's going to be dependent on how quickly you can turn around that site plan and get the septic information to us to complete the application.
Okay. Great. Thanks, folks.
Thank you. Item two on the agenda, major subdivision, combined conceptual master and preliminary plan review. Hosley, proposed two-lot subdivision utilizing flexible frontage, assessors plot 54, lot 57, located at 1696 Ministerial Road. Wendy Hosley is the applicant representative, and you are?
Chris Palmer. I'm a
professional. Oh, yeah. Chris, if you could just identify yourself there, please, and
red light means it's on.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
And then if you could give a rundown of the project, that'd be great.
I guess this project started about 2.5 years ago with Steve Pinch. He retired. I've got all his records. So what we have is the owners behind us. They wanted me to continue it on, finish it up. There was a pre-app done where they showed for a one-lot minor subdivision under the flexible design. Under this submission, since it's a master and preliminaries combined, we're showing one proposed lot in the back. We've gotten DM approval for two septic systems. There was a cesspool in the front house, so we're upgrading that to a conventional design, three-bedroom design. There's a four-bedroom design in the back. We also went to Rhode Island DOT and got a PAP permit, went through the Scenic Highway Division, through a lot of extensive, you know, going back and forth with them because this is a scenic highway, the location of it. We have approval from them that this is the best location and spot for this driveway. It's pretty straightforward, just a one-lot minor or two-lot minor subdivision on an existing lot that is 4.5 acres in size.
Thank you, Chris. I hold out the room. I just have questions. James?
Sure. I noticed there's a culvert up to the north section of the property. What does that drain? Does that drain collect something?
That actually, DOT, it was interesting because that one is at the peak of the hill. DOT is even asking why and what it's doing there. So that was some of the comments in the meeting minutes with DOT is they researched and said, if you look at grades, if you have the PAP plan, I submitted the PAP submittal. You'll see that the grades go down the hill to the north and down the hill to the south. And so in their comments, they were just like, maybe a farmer asked us to do it at the time of the road construction. So that we addressed. Sue Capasso, the engineer who did that, addressed that with DOT, and they even said there's nothing there. So just preserve the location of it and preserve that if any possible water does come down, it'd stay alongside the driveway.
Another question was on going into Lot B, that driveway. What's the slope of that driveway, and what type of driveway is going to be? Is it going to be pervious? Is it going to be paved?
It is, it's less than 8% because that's what you have to meet. And I believed she has it as pavement now because there's no difference in the calculations. And she was just going to swale it and then put it in a QB, a qualified pervious area in the back.
And was there
Yeah, there was a physical alteration permit approved.
It was approved by DOT?
By DOT and the Scenic Board Commission. I submitted that in the application. It has the plans and the approval letter.
Okay, good.
Yep. Yeah, that was because it's a scenic highway, there's a lot of hoops and bounds and a lot of meetings you got to go to on that.
Okay.
Discussion.
Joe?
Just wondering from an engineering perspective if the town has any concerns relative to sight lines. And, I mean, unfortunately, I think people speed along Ministerial Road, to say the least.
That is why we positioned this driveway entrance is at the peak of the hill.
Okay.
There were possible discussions of trying to move it down, and everyone from DOT looked at it, and we had to do a sight line analysis. She had to do a sight line analysis for that speed in the zone, and DOT approved all of that stuff, saying that it's sufficient, and that's the best location for it.
And that back house will not be visible from Ministerial Road, it looks like, right?
The what?
The back house proposed.
Downhill. If you're looking, you're going down in grade from, 150 to 115, so 40 feet. So you won't see much of it.
And the existing house will maintain its existing driveway. Is it a curved driveway in front there?
Yeah, we looked at it both ways. And due to, we'd have to disturb a lot of that 50-foot scenic buffer that's required by the town. And being, if you look at the house, all the living space is on the first floor. So to come in off of that driveway would create a lot of disturbance. You'd see more from the highway. So keeping it in the front and leaving it as it's been historically is the best approach for keeping the character and scenic of the highway.
I suspect you will get that question again at the planning board, because many times, especially along the historic highway, they want to minimize the number of curb cuts. So,
I mean, that was considered here, because we also approached, because there's a 30-foot private right-of-way. We did extensive reach out to all of the neighbors. We've written them. They've given written response. We have an attorney that has followed that title trail, has asked the neighbor, and they said, we have no desire for anybody else to use this, even yourself on your current lot. So I submitted a letter from the attorney stating that, because I know that was a concern of the planning board. And so we took a while to approach everybody and finally have them say, no, it's not going to happen. You don't have title right and interest to it. So we'd like you to keep it on your own property.
And Jay, is there any unanswered questions or concerns from when this came in front of the TRC, I think 3 years ago or so? This project had previously come, right?
So it had previously come in for a pre-app with the planning board. It was not before the TRC, because pre-apps just go straight to the planning board, right?
All right, thank you. That's all I have.
Matt?
So the septic system that's on the existing house is a
cesspool.
It says on the plans, and maybe this diverged when it actually got built, but it says there's a 1,000-gallon septic tank.
Well, no, there's an existing cesspool, and we're proposing a 1,000-gallon because based on DEM's regulations, when you create more than one lot, and you have a cesspool on the existing lot, you have to do a full septic design to remove the cesspool and for the new lot. So there's no system suitability for anything for three lots. You have to actually provide a septic design for those properties to upgrade it.
But the approval that you got about a year ago, that's for a 1,000-gallon?
Yeah, three-bedroom design. That's a typical design, yep.
That's good.
So, you know, we also, you would have a notice of violation. If there's a septic, there's a cesspool, you're saying, existing now?
Yes. And so
we haven't done that research yet, but normally would once it starts getting to the planning board. Mark would have done that research, but you're representing it's a cesspool. So I'm going to bet there's a notice of violation recorded against the property. And in order to get that release, it's normally got to be built. So, I mean, if you've got a design for it, you know, it may be, it's a little more difficult to release it unless it's been built. There are mechanisms by which we can do that. You're going to want to talk to Mark, the town engineer, about that, about how do we move that along. But
and as part of the subdivision, we're going to, before you're going to be able to record, before you're going to get final, the cesspool is going to have to be replaced.
Yeah, that's the That's why we did that.
Right, because from our perspective, at that point, we lose leverage. We lose all leverage at trying to actually get them in place.
Yep.
Chris?
One more question.
Go ahead, Matt.
The well that exists on the property, you're tapping into that same well. You're not drilling a new well for...
No, there'll be a new well for the new house, new dwelling. Yes.
There will be one.
Yep.
Is that on?
Yeah, the minute you start sharing wells, that gets a little too messy.
Before you go, Chris, you're showing grading onto the existing, you know, across the property line. I think that I'd be interested to know that, like, are you planning to subdivide this, sell the lot, and have somebody else build this house?
Yeah, so the grading there is to shift it over. We're also, if you look, we're proposing a 10-foot grading easement. It's not.
Oh, okay. All right.
The dash line must have not come through, but the wording is there.
Okay. All right. Good. Exactly what I was going to suggest is that there's some sort of easement there so that that we don't get a situation where somebody buy, you know, and then this owner says, no, you're not touching my property.
No, we want to. I know there was discussion when Sue and I were going through. I'm like, Sue, why don't we shift this driveway one, to keep it further from the neighbor, and two, to keep that flow, whatever was going, like Mark just explained, for culvert, even though it doesn't do anything, just keep it open. So whatever happens, whatever was happening with that hydrology stays that way. And she's like, oh, that's a better idea. And I said, we can always give it either a temporary grading easement or a permanent grading easement.
And, Rich, if you recall, there was another subdivision just like this on the same road in the same area. And the solution to that, I believe, was statements on the plan acknowledging that drainage from one parcel or improvements in drainage from one parcel may impact the other parcel, and language in there that it's acceptable. Basically.
Okay, from so, lot B to lot A.
As an alternative, I mean, what your suggestion works. Also, I'm just saying we have some prior experience where it was addressed simply on the record plan when it was recorded.
See, I don't see a problem since we own the whole piece of property.
You do now, but so what happens, what we're afraid of happening is that somebody purchases this lot in the back. Whoever's living here, it may be you or somebody else even, it could be, the whole thing could be sold as a project, but then the driveway goes in, and then you're shifting your running water down through somebody else's property, and they, you know, they might say no, and then whoever purchases this lot in back is going to be stuck. Now you're in a fortunate that last one, the water was going in the other direction; it was going out towards Ministerial Road, which was much more difficult than this. This at least you do have the qualified pervious area. You're working with a better situation. But that driveway is still going to run off across that property. So I think what will happen ultimately is that in the approval, that there needs to be some notation, and we'll just make note of it here that
I could make it even wider, maybe give another five, and put in the thing saying grading and drainage easement for the driveway. For sheet flow purposes, but if that, not to be built as a structure. And
that's right. That's what exactly what you're looking for. Right.
So I think that's beneficial.
Driveway and access improvements.
Driveway and access improvements. Right. Any kind of structure and stuff need to be maintained down further below or in a swale.
And one other thing that you might want to consider right now, Ministerial Road, the requirements for the Ministerial Road scenic roadway says that straight driveways should be avoided as best as possible, and you should try to curve it to prevent, you know, straight line of sight. So if there's some way that you can curve that somehow, I mean, I'm seeing drastic.
Yeah, no, this is kind of unique that you're going down the hill. So you're going to, if you look at the sight distance, it's going to be disappearing before. And that was, I mean, we could try, and if you... At this type of design, you'd have to widen.
No, my suggestion is just to put a little meander in it.
Okay.
And then just
further down. Okay.
It's because the way that the language is worded, straight driveways shall be avoided, and where possible, a curved driveway shall be located so as to obstruct direct views from the road to site structures. You got a little bit of room to play with. Try to meet the ordinance as best as possible, recognizing the fact that it's downhill and you're not going to see it. I mean, that's the argument for you to make at the hearing.
Yep.
The more information you can provide to say, hey, this satisfies it, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, because we did a lot of pictures and sight line stuff for, which we all have for the scenic highway for the state approval. And that was a lot of the concern. And then, because they actually wanted gravel from the edge of pavement back, but then the engineering department, we all kind of stepped in and said, well, that's not appropriate, because the minute you go to put your foot on the gas, what are you doing? You're degrading the edge of the road. So they said, no, you need to have an apron of some sort, because that's the new push, is no aprons. But the aprons degrade the highway and the edge line. The minute you go to put your foot on the gas, you start ripping up their pavement, and now DOT is seeing it on some of the northern highways that it's not appropriate, and we're fixing the highway more than we are saving a scenic view. So I do have those sight lines.
Yeah, so anyway.
Which is good. That was a great concern. Same thing with the trees is I know they actually kind of want us to remove those arborvitaes. If you look, you can see on these plans, you have like these six or seven rows of arborvitaes because they're not consistent with the rhododendron and the mountain laurel, which after reading, maybe we should, that was one comment, is to actually get that state scenic highway booklet involved.
Yeah, my only comment back to that meandering thing, you could probably, that could probably be satisfied by just putting a little jog at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah. So just I'd a little. Probably do it after that 50-foot.
Whatever. I mean, like I said, it doesn't have to be drastic. Just something to break it up, and then.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. We have that 50-foot is pretty clear, so I'm trying to keep all my disturbance out of that. You know, the more I could probably wiggle it right over there. We could. I'll make something work. I think it's feasible to do. I can't be too dramatic with it, but we can try to make something work.
I was just going to add the, I would imagine you don't have house plans picked out yet, but the garage, it looks like it would possibly be pointing to the north, but it wouldn't be able to front or face Ministerial Road, okay. So that'd be conditional.
Yeah, these are pretty, I think she just came in for turning around purposes. This is a generic. I know once when someone goes and buys this lot, they're going to be redoing everything, new house plans. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff will probably be addressed in that SCRC plan that's required, you know, for it.
Maybe carry a note on the plan that just notices that the garage can't face Ministerial. That way it's clear to whoever ultimately builds something here that they at least have that stipulation.
All right, so the garage can't be facing.
Right, because then what you're describing is what will happen is it'll come up at when they pull a building permit. We don't want to see them go headlong into a building plan without.
Okay. Well, to be clear, the ordinance says any proposed garage is visible from Ministerial Road due to lack of vegetation, topography, or other site characteristics shall have doors facing away from the scenic highway.
Right. And just reference the regs on the scenic roadway, and they can.
That and the fact that your how far is that? 400 feet? 400, let's just say 450 feet. You've got other, you know, there's, you just got to make the case that it's not going to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, you'll be the rooftops probably due to the regulations. The rooftop is below, going to be 10 foot, even below the roadway.
Right.
But if you're looking down the road, if the potential buyer were to swing and just have the garage door facing it,
you know, facing
Ministerial Road,
facing.
That would be true. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just has to face to the north,
yeah,
kind of the way it is.
Jay said you can't be viewable.
Chris?
So I'll just put garage facing.
What's the existing vegetation in the first 50 feet? Is it solid? Is it sparse?
No. It's a lot of. It's not really much mountain laurel. It's kind of, since it's at the peak of the hill, it doesn't have that typical Sierra Road vegetation. It's of oak, some hickory, some maple. I located all the trees within that area just so people would show it, especially for DOT, because they whatever you remove, you got to compensate, and nothing's on their property. And after labeling, identifying the non-native species that are there. They were like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah, those are non-native. You need to either remove them if you're going to keep within the character or stick with the rhododendron, which would be more appropriate in this upland habitat here. So it's not very dense up at the top. It starts to get dense as you go further down below.
Let me see if I can.
Obviously, GIS photos aren't always up to date, but it looks like it's pretty heavily wooded in the area of the proposed.
Chris, is this the house?
Yeah, so if you go further down, see all that stuff? Those are all arborvitae trees, all of them.
Uh-huh.
And that right there is what you're looking at. So as you start going down the entrance, not till you get about 70 or 80 feet in is when you start getting into the typical rhododendron.
So the regs might require you to thicken that up a little bit. You might need to do some supplemental plantings in there.
Also put up some rhododendrons, the typical, because there is a plant list in the state highway, scenic highway.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that if it's sparse, you do need to make an attempt at trying to fill it in. And that will be dealt with later.
I think we've had that discussion.
Yeah.
They were fine with that.
When this comes in for a building permit, it's going to have to go for DPR.
Yep.
For the driveway and for all the stuff that we're talking about, and that's when all this would be addressed.
Yep. Yeah, that discussion was held with the state, and same thing. They didn't require any plantings because there's none being removed on state property. Located every single one of those trees and all that, and it's not on state property, so they were like, well, if it's not on our property, we can't enforce you to put vegetation on our property. So that's why nothing was being proposed under that PAP permit. So anything on the private property, like I said, the open to the removal of those.
They would really just primarily be in this first 50
feet. Yep. Yep. As you can see, they're pretty large caliper trees. So you're not going to have many there. Maybe one or two.
Yeah. You're not talking an extensive project. It's just supplementing.
We do have enough of the stuff down below, and they're like, oh, we're more than happy digging up some of the stuff that's already currently on the. Because as you go down, you start hitting that typical.
Sure. And you have a road
survey
going.
Survey nightmare cutting through rhododendron and
stuff. Yeah.
That seems appropriate to fit with the scenic highways to plant something that is in spirit and local.
We would agree.
Is there anything else from anybody? So, as with the last application, I'm not hearing anything that doesn't, it's just screaming that we need to see more information at this point. But I think you've been given a good list of things that need to be thought about before you get to the planning board, maybe some clarification. But I'd entertain a motion at this point if anybody is inclined to do that, if any of us are.
Do you have a list of any conditions that would like to be addressed before planning?
Well, so, Jay, are we issuing conditions on this, or are we... We letting it go to planning board with the recommendations that we've already provided.
Well, again, I think there's two parts to this. There's two steps to this dance. This first step is the subdivision. The second step is the development plan review for the installation of the driveway and the built in the house. But for the purposes of the subdivision, I don't believe really there's anything on the table.
Okay. I'll make that motion to approve.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mark Convoy. Any discussion?
I have a question. How quick do you expect to replace the cesspool? The only reason I ask is the timing of this next steps, right? Yeah. You're going to require a public hearing with the planning board for your preliminary. You can anticipate to go that far to get your preliminary combined conceptual preliminary plan approval, and then the step after that would be obviously getting the cesspool replaced so that you can proceed with final record. So my question is timing of that. Are we talking immediate or are we talking 2 years?
I don't think so. I think
because
since this is a family property and now all the brothers and sisters own it from their parents.
Yeah,
I think they're trying to sell the lot, so I think it's
going to be quick.
Process.
Yeah,
it's a quicker process. So going to preliminary, I don't think they'll have a problem having a condition that final can't be or the plans can't be actually recorded until the septic system. I think that's appropriate.
And I just bring it up so that the applicant, everybody understands with the preliminary plan approval, you have a two-year window. So if you're not going to do it right away, then you're going to have to anticipate coming back and get an extension and yada yada.
I think it's going to happen, yeah.
That's all. That's
No. It's taken this long to get to
Thank you.
This point to get the plan submitted.
So what I'll suggest, though, is that even while if you're constructing for a septic system later on down the line, that you contact DPS and specifically our OWTS coordinator And that way we can have the release of the lien ready and recorded so that it's a little bit smoother on the process when you want to go get final. Like, we just want to make sure everything's in place so that when you go get final, you'll be all set.
Yeah, I'll see if there is, if they did place it on this yet. I don't know if they did.
Okay. I'm going to bet we did, and it would have been, you know, 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I have to look. I'll do a quick title of downstairs.
All right.
I know some have been missed.
We'll check on our end as well.
Yeah, if I can.
Mark will check. Mark will have perform some. They're recorded. Yeah. Anybody who didn't respond to the cesspool upgrades would have been recorded against the property. Yeah, it's kind of gray. You could have a system where it looks like a cesspool, but there may be a pipe going out, and some inspector might have said, no, it's a standard system. And in those cases, it would not have been recorded. But if it was strictly a cesspool and you're familiar with it being a cesspool, we would have recorded it. And Jay's going to look it up now. But
yeah, I mean, that's the one good thing about DM now.
All right.
One lot of no system suitabilities is go for a design. Get it done.
But either way, I think we'll do a roll call vote. Jamie?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Joe,
aye.
Matt,
aye.
Chris,
aye.
And I as well from Rich Bourbonnais. So that moves you on to the planning board.
Okay. Odd scenic notes, some more grading details.
Yeah, drainage.
Notes of the garage can only be north facing in this property and not facing ministerial.
Yeah, some understanding of drainage for the discharge of that driveway.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. For both of those.
So that concludes our agenda.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I have a motion for
second person.
To what's that?
Eye to the Zoom.
Oh yeah, no kidding. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. I'd like to point out that this is probably the quickest technical review we've ever had, and I want that on the record.
That would be incorrect.
By Joe. Second by Matt.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Let's get out of here.